All right, as we start this morning, I want us to be thinking about a certain picture, okay? If I say the word trap, what comes to your mind?
Mouse trap?
Okay, I want us to be thinking bigger this morning. Bear trap, all right. We got a big bear trap. But if we're going to use a bear trap effectively, we don't want it to just kind of be out in the open for the bears to see, right? We're going to hide it kind of maybe under the surface of some leaves or things like that. And the bear's going to come and it's going to... Sniff the bait that's by the trap, right? And he'll step in the trap and it snaps. And then all of a sudden the damage is done, right? For the bear. And what we're going to be talking about this morning in Proverbs is anger. And anger is a lot kind of like that trap where it's a lot of times it's under the surface and a word or a reaction can just trigger that. And all of a sudden there's serious damage, right? There's this trap with anger. The damage that can be done with anger, there's an immediate damage. We all see this just about every day, I think. One little outburst can wound a spouse or a child, or a friend. And sometimes that snap can take years for that wound to heal, if ever, right? And the thing with anger, you can't escape on your own. So if you have gotten in that trap of anger, you can't free yourself from the sin of anger with sheer willpower, can you? Every time I try to do that, it just gets bottled and stuffed inside, and next thing you know, that trap gets bigger the next time. Okay, we need someone else to free us. Just like a bear caught in a trap, can't get out on its own, it needs someone to free it if it gets caught. And lastly, prevention is better than the cure. So the best way to avoid the trap of anger... Well, the best way to avoid a bear trap would be to spot it from a distance and steer clear. And it's the same with anger. Wisdom teaches us how to spot the triggers, practice restraint, and trust God before that anger snaps. Okay? So, would you stand with me? We're only going to read two verses this morning. But Proverbs 22, 24 to 25. And again, just keep this picture of a trap or a snare in your mind. Proverbs chapter 22, verses 24 and 25 says this. Make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. You may be seated. A snare, that trap. That's right, Isla. Before we get started in my Proverbs points, I did want to just take a moment of time to say that anger in and of itself is not necessarily a sin. Okay? So Psalm 7:11 says, God is an honest judge. He is angry with the wicked every day. So when we just automatically think anger bad, it might not be. Because God, in many verses throughout Scripture, talks about God's anger or God's wrath towards sin. Okay? So there is a time when anger is good. Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God, the anger, is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. God is angry when his truth is suppressed. Likewise, Ephesians 4:26, Paul writes, be angry, but what? Do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. So anger is in and of itself, it's a gift from God. It's kind of a gauge that tells us this isn't right. This is wicked. And it's okay to be angry about unrighteousness and wickedness. Now, what we do with that anger, that's what matters. And I think that's what Proverbs speaks more about. So when we go into Proverbs here this morning, we're not going to be talking about this righteous, God-given kind of anger. We're going to be talking about the anger that I think we all struggle with every day. The uncontrolled anger that just kind of snaps and comes out of us. Okay? So my first point here is uncontrolled anger is dangerous. Kids, have you ever had a soda, a pop, and you opened it up and it just went all over the place?
Yeah.
And you're like, golly, I didn't even know that that pressure was in the can. I thought I'd just open it and enjoy it, and now it's all over me. Okay? The shaken soda, that pressure builds up inside of it, and a small opening can make an explosion, and then you have this huge mess. And again, it's very much like how anger works. There's this pressure underneath that we don't realize, and just a little small opening can just make that explode, and it makes a big mess around us. So Proverbs 14, 17, a man of quick temper acts foolishly, and a man of evil devices is hated. Anger often rushes words and actions that we later regret. And it can ruin relationships. It's that pressure in the can that just... And if we are men and women and children of quick temper, we are going to act foolishly. Proverbs 14, 29. Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. A temper, notice this, a temper doesn't just reveal folly, it exalts it. It's putting it up for everyone to see. Look at how foolish this person is because of their hasty temper, their anger that's just coming out and exploding. Proverbs 15, 18. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention. When you think of stirring, maybe don't think of like, you know, maybe cooking something on the stove. Think like if you ever go to a lake or a pond and you like stir up the mud, it's just all over the place, right? And it's really hard. It takes a long time for it to settle back down. That's the picture that comes up to my mind when I think of this. People with a temper or angry attitude, they stir up strife. And it takes a long time for that to settle back down, doesn't it? It gets really cloudy. Anger is contagious and it escalates. How many times have I gotten angry with one of the kids and next thing you know, they're getting angry with each other and it spreads, it's nasty, it stirs it up. Proverbs 19:19. A man of great wrath will pay the penalty, for if you deliver him, you will only have to do it again. Anger brings about consequences. And unless the heart changes, the cycle will continue to repeat itself over and over and over. Proverbs 29:22, a man of wrath stirs up strife, and one given to anger causes much transgression. Again, just this thought of uncontrolled anger stirs up, multiplies sin, and affects many people. The New Testament also addresses this same thing. Colossians 3, 6 to 7. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Paul's talking about that anger is part of the old self. Not the anger from the righteous God. The anger that's uncontrolled, stirs up strife. That's part of the old self. And now if your new self is in Christ, it frees you from that sin. Because Jesus took the punishment for our sin, we are no longer bound by uncontrolled anger. We can be set free. Point number two, wise people practice restraint. How do we walk in wisdom? We have to practice restraint. I did this for you, Minnesota. I'm always trying to find a balance in my sermons. All right. Ron, who's this? Justin Jefferson. All right. Do you think Justin Jefferson was just born One of the great wide receivers yes. of our time. He was just born that way. No, we all know the reason, and he might have been born with some natural talent, right? But the reason he has got to be one of the best is because of all the practice that he's put in. He's put in so much practice that over time, catching footballs is just second nature, right? He probably doesn't, he's not running and thinking, okay, I got to do this, this, and this in order to catch this. It just happens because he's put so much practice in. Does that make sense? So, again, practicing restraint in our lives, we have to practice it. It doesn't just happen. We have to practice. So Proverbs 16:32, whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Now, if you could conquer an entire city, especially like, you know, back in this time when they were walled, heavily guarded, if you could take a city, that would be pretty impressive. And what Solomon is saying is if you can control your temper, it's even more impressive than taking a city. Okay? So this is a big deal. Now, we have another city one here. Proverbs 25:28. A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. Again, in this time, when you would have people attacking cities and trying to take over, it would be really foolish to not have walls around your city. You're open, you're exposed, you're vulnerable. And Solomon is using this picture language to say, the one without patience is open to sin's destruction. If you don't practice patience daily in your life, you will be like a city without walls, just open to any sort of influence and thing that can come in or out. It's going to end in destruction. Proverbs 29:11. A fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. Again, a fool that just lets it all out freely shows his folly. But wisdom reveals itself in patience. We want to walk as wise people. It must be shown in how we interact and respond to people. Our New Testament verse for this, Philippians 2:12-13, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Again, I chose this one because I think we need to understand that salvation, it's not something we earn. It's not something we get by being a good person or doing the right thing or saying the right thing. It's a free gift from God. But then what we do with that salvation, it matters that we work it out. We have to work hard at practicing what we've received so that it becomes second nature to us and we be more like Jesus. Okay? So work it out. Practice restraint. I was trying to think of examples. You know, I'm going to... Little side note. I've noticed that when I've been preaching through Proverbs, every topic I preach about, something happens that week that really humbles me. So I was being really careful this week when I knew I was going to preach on anger and self-control. I was just being so careful. You watching me asking? I will share with you embarrassingly. I've shared this with you before. The one area that I get most upset about is in traffic, okay? And even take that a step further, the place that happens most often is roundabouts. I do not understand how people just stop. So I almost rear-ended a car earlier this week, and I lost my self-control. I gave in to sin, okay? I just yelled stuff out, and as I passed this lady in frustration, I realized she was a little old lady, and it would just humble me again. Like, you are a pastor, and you're getting angry at this little old lady that doesn't know how to use a roundabout, okay? It just humbled me again, and the rest of the week, I purposely practiced restraint, okay? So the kids, I don't know if they remember this or not, there was times on the way to school or driving home from sports practice or whatever, I let people in ahead of me. When we went to Costco, I parked farther away, so I would have to walk farther and let other people get the closer spots. Even one time, I stayed behind a slow vehicle. Okay, now these are all maybe somewhat silly examples, but I think the more that we pay attention to these types of things, all that stuff builds up over time. So I'm learning how to practice restraint by choosing to stay behind the slow person in traffic. Does that make sense? Okay, thank you. But I just want to encourage you guys, whatever your thing is, choose to practice restraint in that area. Choose to put other people before you and not get so upset right away. All right, two more points. Wise people respond rather than react. Don't be like me with the little old lady in the roundabout. Okay, here's a thought. You guys, kids, you know what these are? Thermometer, and this one is called a thermostat. Okay, a thermometer just reacts to what's around it, the temperature around it. It just says, this is, I'm gonna move to whatever temperature is in the room. A thermostat sets the temperature. It influences how the room is going to be. Does that make sense? Okay, so one's like responding, one's reacting. Proverbs 12:16, a fool is quick tempered, but a wise person stays calm when insulted. How many of us are good at staying calm when insulted? You try, yes, we all try. But the thing is, a fool reacts instantly, right? How many times have we been insulted and we give that insult right back? It's really easy to do. Okay, but the wise choose to overlook the offense. I'm not gonna take the bait, I'm not gonna respond to that. I'm gonna stay quiet. Proverbs 19:11. Good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. Again, overlooking an offense is not weakness, it's actually a strength of character. Proverbs 29:8. Scoffers set a city aflame, but the wise turn away wrath. Fools will escalate conflict, but wise people diffuse the tension around them. This is the difference between reacting and responding. It can mean destruction or peace. Matthew 5, Jesus addresses this. You have heard it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. That old instinct, that old self in us says, you hit me, I'm going to hit you back. I never see this in my home, right, boys?
Never. Mm.
But there's that thing in us that says, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, right? We all want justice. And yet Jesus redefines wisdom by replacing that retaliation with radical restraint and grace. He had every right to say no to the cross, and yet he did that for us. That's how Jesus lived. When he was crucified, what did he do? Call down wrath of God on them? No, he asked God to forgive them. Even when he was nailed to a cross, he prayed for their forgiveness. And the gospel likewise calls us to follow his example. And through the Holy Spirit's work in us, we can. We don't have to give in to that uncontrolled anger. We can respond rather than react. Okay, lastly, wise people trust God for self-control. This is the best example I could do here. This, don't ask me about all this stuff, okay? I'm nervous even using a car example. But this is a power steering system in a car. Okay, some of you older people maybe remember before there was power steering. But the power steering system, if you think about how it works, you're still steering, okay? But the strength is coming from somewhere else. Does that make sense? Okay, so trying to exercise self-control, it can't just come from our own willpower. We don't have the strength to use self-control. We will, left to ourselves, we will eventually give in just like that shaken soda can, we will explode. You can bottle it up for a time, but it will come out and it will make a big mess. Versus if we rely on someone else's strength, we can steer properly. So if we rely on the Spirit to give us strength, we can practice self-control. Proverbs 15:33. The fear of the Lord is instruction in wisdom, and humility comes before honor. How do we let the Holy Spirit work out this self-control in us and through us? We need to rely on God's wisdom here. So wisdom, it begins with a correct view of God. Fearing God teaches us humility and self-control. It remembers who's in charge. You are not. I am not. If I try to take control of my life and all the things around me, it's not going to go well. If I surrender it all to the Lord and remember who He is and who I am, that's the first step. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Again, I think so many of us struggle with this need for control, right? We don't want to admit it, but I think a lot of us try. We try to control, we try to self-control. Pride makes us trust ourselves, and our self-control can't take the pressure of life. And yet the gospel teaches us to put our confidence in Christ. True self-control comes from the fear of the Lord. You want to stop yourself from destruction? You want to stop yourself from a fall? You need to let go of pride and control. So contrast also pride with the fear of others. Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man lays a snare. There's that trap again. But whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. So we can have pride in ourselves, or we could also struggle with the fear of others, the fear of man. If we put our trust and our confidence fully in the Lord, we are safe. We don't have to worry about that anger bubbling out of us and exploding. But if we have fear of man, it's a trap. So again, think of this trap. How is this playing out in your life? Trap number one, are you living to please other people? Are you enslaved by others' approval? And that fear often drives us to reactive living. And you'll battle anger and lack of self-control. Trap number two is living to please yourself. You're enslaved by expectations of others serving you and meeting your needs. And this will also lead to reactive living and anger and lack of self-control. I think all of us fall in some sort of trap. And yet when we think of Jesus and how he trusted God perfectly, he didn't give in to uncontrolled anger or lack of self-control. He trusted God in everything. Every time he was insulted or questioned by people that didn't like him or wanted to just stir up strife, he responded carefully, thoughtfully, God-honoring. Jesus trusted God perfectly, even when it meant facing his death. Not just a quick execution either, a painful, drawn-out execution on a cross. Jesus trusted God even then. And because Jesus died willingly in our place, because he was raised on the third day, he can now offer salvation and new life through his Holy Spirit to anyone who puts their faith in that. Trust in the gospel frees us from the snare of people-pleasing and selfish living. Trust in the gospel frees us to receive the Holy Spirit and enjoy his fruit. including self-control. Galatians 5:22-24. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If I belong to Jesus, I am no longer bound by the things that hold me back in sin. I have been given His Holy Spirit, and I have all of these things in the Holy Spirit. I have all of this. It's not like I just get four of them and I'm still hoping for the others. When you have the Holy Spirit, you get all of this stuff as a big package deal. And again, I think sometimes if we're struggling in one of these areas, maybe it's because we're trying to control that area rather than surrender it to the Lord. And maybe what we need to do is actually practice the things we don't want to practice. If you want to see more fruit in your life, I suggest you surrender to the Holy Spirit. You ask Him, pray, Holy Spirit, this is the fruit of having You. And I want to see this work in me and through me. One last verse, John 15:5. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. What kind of fruit is he talking about? The fruit of the Spirit, I think. This describes Jesus. And if we want to be like Jesus, if that's the goal, we need to surrender everything to the Spirit that will give us that fruit. Abide in Jesus. Spend time with Jesus. Pray to Him. Ask Him for help. You can't do it on your own. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank You that You are a perfect example of someone who walked in wisdom and trusted Your Father. Lord, we thank You for that example. Lord, we thank You that You were willing to die and take on the penalty for our sins. And You offer salvation, Lord, for anyone who believes and follows You. And Lord, we thank You that You don't just leave us. You send Your Holy Spirit to live in each and every believer who puts their faith in You. And that gift, Lord, of all the fruit of Your Holy Spirit, what a gift. Lord, we repent of the ways that we have tried to control our own lives, and we've given into anger and lack of self-control. Lord, we give that to You this morning, and we pray, Holy Spirit, that You would do a mighty work in our hearts, in our minds. Lord, our strength is to surrender and trust in You, to let You produce that fruit in us. We just need to surrender. So Lord, help us to surrender to You this morning. In Your name we pray, amen.